And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I'm Laura Lanamy. And on today's show, Out on the Page,
Paul from Writers Group will be live in the studio to talk to us.
And it's news, but bigger, with News Extra.
We'll be talking your most talked about stories in the news and expanding them.
All that and more
are coming up on, wait for it, 9 stations on today's Shout Out.
Terry, did you try and take that from me?
I'm so sorry.
How dare you? That was mine. I stole it from Andy. Now it's mine. How are you? How's everyone?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes. Nice to see you. Yeah.
Steffi, do you know what I've been watching? Killing Eve.
Oh,
it
you have?
It is amazing.
Have you finished it?
Literally, when she woke up with a black girl, like, and a guy, I was just like, I'm living for this. Like, that's I wanted cool. to be her. It's so yeah. good. And it's so, like, different. I never... And she's just amazing. Like, how many languages yeah. she can talk.
I know. But you know it's fiction, don't you? Right?
Wow.
You were living it, weren't you, girl?
I was. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be in it. I wanted to be Eve. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll be that. Yeah. But yeah, no, I definitely recommend it to anyone.
Yeah. Did you binge watch?
Oh, yeah. I watched it within a day. Yeah. I was looking at work.
What channel is it on? Or is it on Netflix?
BBC.
BBC, is
BBC.
It?
BBC. Okay. Yeah, no, it's really good. It's like very... Like you get very, very much into it and you kind of like hate and love her. It's great. It's definitely... like, definitely watch it.
It is. Cool. Yeah, a must watch.
Right. And what's it called again?
Killing Eve.
Killing Eve.
Not to be promoting anything, but I just had to
say it. No. We're all about promoting. Yeah. It's good that the BBC are doing sort of representation, isn't
it? It's weird because you don't expect her to be queer. And then she just comes out and she's just laying in bed with these two people. And I'm like, oh my God. I want to be
Which
in that bed.
Which way do you turn?
I know. I'm like, they're two hot people. I'm like, what? This would be like Christmas come at once for me.
Yeah, well, it is nearly Christmas. Fabulous. You mentioned the C word already. It's still September.
I don't
Have
even get me
Have you seen John Lewis? John Lewis has gone queer. The baubles are up.
Oh, God.
Well,
no.
I noticed that, you know, the True Movie Station, it's on most platforms, they've rebranded as True Christmas and they're now showing non-stop Christmas films from now until Boxing Day.
I do not approve of this message. Like, I can't understand, like, what Christmas is December. Keep it there. Like, why does it have to be in September? Like already, like baubles on sale and stuff.
No, it's back to school, Halloween and Christmas all rolled into one, isn't
it?
That's
the thing. Halloween is my Christmas. I love dressing up, getting sparkly, getting like makeup all on my face. It's the only time I can look weird and be okay with it. Do you know what I mean? It's like crazy. So I love Halloween and you get the prosthetic everything. I love that.
And in the US, they call it the queer Christmas, don't they? Halloween, because it's all dressing up and being camp. And,
you can go out in whatever you want, and no one actually says anything. I've got dressed as a maid and everyone's like, fair enough. So I love Halloween. Christmas is like jumpers.
It is, with reindeer on the front.
Oh God. Even worse.
Now I must say welcome back to Radio WSM, which is back on the air, and thanks to Rich Niblett for that.
Brilliant
he
news.
Also runs Pirate Nation Radio. They've got a team together and they're going for an FM license. So
Wonderful.
They're back with us. So we're on 9 stations.
Ooh, brilliant. I'm so proud of us.
Yeah, and they've done really well. And it's great to see Western deserves a community radio project. So well done.
Well, it's a big town, isn't it?
It is, And it's got a big LGBT scene, certainly judging by...
Does it now?
The fabulous response we had at Western Pride. There was loads of people there. We met Bucks Fizz and it was fantastic.
I definitely feel like I should be going there.
Well, the Fizz.
The Fizz.
We couldn't meet Bucks Fizz because that was copyrighted that name by someone else who's not.
It's a bit like the Bay City. Do you remember the Bay City Rollers?
Yeah.
There's about 3 versions of them, isn't there, or something?
Is there?
Story. I think, they
See,
fell
that's
out.
So sad.
They fell out. Well, I think there's several versions.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that is sad. Right, now, because it's the last Thursday, we've got Newsmag later. But we've also got Outshout. And Get well soon, Andy. He's in bed. So say get well, Andy, everyone. Especially you, Laurie. You know how much he loves you.
Fine. Get well, Andy.
Get well, Andy. Who's he in bed with,
though? Oh, nice one, Terry. Oh. Nice. Better put my mic up. We're short on the ground today, so I'm actually doing outshout. So I'm going to run around to the other side of the desk. Mind, Terry, you're in the outshout slot. He is, yeah. Sock wrestling. Now, do you remember we had...
Zook.
Well, thank you for saving my life.
It's all right. I'm here for you.
Zook is back with sock wrestling, and that's at the Eastern Community Centre. Now, about sock wrestling, if you weren't listening to the show last year when we had it on air, sock wrestling involves trying to pull off your opponent's sock before they get your sock. Each participant is wearing only one sock. There will be a small fighting ring, inverted commas fighting, and there's no biting or scratching allowed. Strictly wrestling. The point is to have a safe and high energy place to release pent up energy. Are you wondering whether you'd be able to and feel comfortable wrestling someone in front of a crowd? Well, first of all, you don't have to. You can just come and watch other people be silly and sock desperate. Oh dear. Okay.
Definitely so, one to go to.
Isn't it?
Like,
isn't
it was different? So much fun. I had and Duke,
that's like Twister in the nude.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay. But yeah. Duke has organised such an amazing event, and they are such a lovely person, and they're definitely there for you. So yeah.
Yep. Cool. So it's Thursday, the 12th of October, 7 until 8:30 in the evening, not the morning. And you can contact them for any information you need. futurefestival2019@gmail.com. And tickets are available at facebook.com/events. There's such a long number. We'll put it on our website. That's much easier. That is so much easier.
Is.
Now, it's fundraising to organise Trans and Non-Binary Festival in 2019, so please support the crowdfunder. Now, the crowdfunder is at crowdfunder.co.uk/trans-festival-2019. Again, we'll put that on our website. So it's all for a good cause, and well done, Zook. And maybe one of us, Laura, should get ourselves down there, do you think?
Oh, I'm be helping out on the day as part of like the Kiki group. So I'm going to be there so all my fans can come see me.
And you've got many.
Oh, I hope so.
How did you manage to get through into the studio again? Because there's such a crowd after your autograph.
I know, there's such a big queue. What can I say? I had to just like ask them to part ways, and they just did. They like me that way.
They do. Gender clothes swap. That's at Zion on the 14th of October between 2 and 4:30 in the afternoon. That's, if you don't know where Zion is, Bishopsworth Road, postcode BS137JW. Now, it's an LGBTQI plus clothing outreach initiative that creates safe spaces for individuals of all gender identities to access clothes without judgment. Community clothing swaps, pop-up locations and travelling workshops for the queer community. Bring what you no longer wear and or identify with. Oh, what a good one. And with swap. Do you know when I transitioned and I was at work and they were doing a presentation to the people that I was managing at the time, there was dead silence when it, and the person is, and they named me, and there was like complete hush. And one of the guys I managed to turn around and said, "Does that mean you won't be needing your shoes now?"
Well, that's one way of reacting, I suppose,
isn't it?
The better way. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to thank myself for doing outshout instead of Andy.
Pat yourself on the back there.
Yeah.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's quite a good version.
Yeah, no, it's quite nice.
It is. Diana Salvatore.
Very calming.
Yeah, from Orphan Black. Now, I think we got the dates wrong.
A little bit of a mistake. Yeah. So it's the 5th of October, actually. So it's next Saturday.
Yeah, but be careful because I got that from their Facebook site.
Yeah,
also on their Facebook site, of Zion, the gender swap, it takes you to somewhere just southeast of Los Angeles. I know, right?
Okay.
So if you are listening, Hazel or anyone else from Zion, you need to change the map. Unless you give me free tickets to get to LA, of course.
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Yes. And I must really apologize to Zook for misgendering them. I'm so sorry. And Terry, are you ready for news?
Whenever you are. This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 27th of September. The iNewspaper has published its guide to the best of autumn viewing coming up on terrestrial television over the next couple of months. Among the programmes on offer will be Butterfly on ITV, scheduled to air in October and November. It will trace the story of 11-year-old Max, who intends to transition to Maxine, and the feelings of her family and friends during her self-defining journey. Meanwhile, over on Channel 4, The Bisexual is a series airing in October by American filmmaker Desiree Akhavan. It's a comedy which explores the differences between men and women from the viewpoint of a female New Yorker who sleeps with both. If you have any recommendations for programmes on the box that we can profile and publicise, do email us. The newspaper for the over-50s, The Mature Times, which is based in Nailsea but has national reach, says that we are coming to the end of Organic September. Organised by the Soil Association, whose national headquarters are in Victoria Street in the centre of Bristol, the initiative will resonate for the many LGBTQ people who take an interest in the environment and ethical agriculture. Mature Times says that despite the austerity period we live in, interest in organics remains high, with over 1,000 mainstream products added to the certified organic label over the last 12 months alone. Claire McDermott, speaking for the Soil Association, said small changes can make a huge difference. Choosing organic helps protect our wildlife and reduces your exposure to pesticides. More organic farms will mean more wildlife and more animals raised to the highest welfare standards. A new book on the 2017 general election will argue that evangelical Christian Tim Farron, who led the Liberal Democrat Party into the election, was partly responsible for the poor showing of the party at the polls, owing to his equivocation on issues such as homosexuality and abortion. According to the Guardian newspaper, the Palgrave published title, simply called The General Election of 2017, will reveal how out of step the fundamentalist Mr. Farron was with both the electorate and the rest of the Liberal Democrats, who have had a gay rights platform since 1975. Since quitting as the party's leader when the Liberal Democrats gained only 12 seats at Westminster, Mr. Farron has told a Christian radio station that he now believes that both homosexuality and abortion are wrong. The Liberal Democrat Party, however, has reaffirmed its commitment to individual liberty and a woman's right to choose under its new leader, Sir Vince Cable. Ruth Davidson, the popular and some would say unlikely hero of the Scottish Conservative Party, has spoken with the Sunday Times ahead of the publication of her book Yes We Can, which details how the lesbian working class activist totally changed the fortunes of the Tory party in Scotland, so much so that it has replaced Labour as the official opposition at the Holyrood Parliament. Davidson will speak candidly about her past in the book, including a bout with depression. Today, however, she is happy, successful and expecting a child with her long-term partner and spouse. Intriguingly, Davidson goes on record to say that she does not want Theresa May's job at Westminster. This is in spite of the fact that many grassroots Conservatives would very much like her magic touch to revive the party's fortunes in England. And finally, the Southeast Humanist Group will be holding a demonstration outside Broadcasting House, home of the BBC Radio Networks in London, on Tuesday, October the 9th at 4pm. According to the atheist magazine Freethinker, the group will be calling on the BBC to open a Thought for the Day slot to humanists and other non-religious thinkers. Thought for the Day has been used in the past as a slot on national radio where homophobic religious groups have been able to launch attacks on LGBT people. It is therefore of interest to gay, bi and trans people to see the slot opened out to people with different points of view. Southeast Humanists point out that the BBC is failing in its duties under the 2003 Communications Act to allow fair access to the airwaves for humanist and atheist belief systems. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr. Check out our website for more.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Love that record.
That is amazing. So that's Randy Crawford with Street Life. I love that song.
Isn't it?
Me and Terry were having a bit of a boogie. If only you could see, but I don't think you would want to see these kind of moves, especially not from Terry.
Very true.
Yeah.
Amazing set of lungs. And she's quite a small woman, isn't she, Randy Crawford, as well?
Yeah.
So she really projects.
Yeah.
We're just saying, like, some of the best music was made in, like, some of the worst times. It was music like that. Nina Simone, all of them, they had such beautiful, powerful songs.
And that whole label, Motown.
Yeah.
Which must have been one of the most famous labels out there. Because usually it's artists who make them, but not then. That was the label
They had a sound, didn't they? They sort of pioneered that kind of wall of sound that sort of came at you on the AM radio back in the 60s.
So a year ago, I took my mum to see Motown. It's a musical now. And it's amazing. It goes through the whole history of it. And like, they had Diana Ross and everything. They didn't actually have the real one, but like, not that anyone assumed that, but I'm just saying it was amazing. The musical is so good. So if you're in London and you love a bit of Motown, definitely I recommend that.
I shall have to go because I just love Motown. It's probably my favorite type of music.
You definitely need to go there.
I grew up there in the 60s and it was Motown. First record I ever heard on Caroline on the Pirates was The Four Tops. Right, moving swiftly on, Paul Bradley Akong in here. Now, you've got an organisation called Out on the Page. Tell us how you got into that or how you come up with the idea. What was behind it? What pushed you?
Oh, right. Hello. I think the main thing was I was writing my first novel and kind of getting into the stage of kind of editing that, and I started looking around for the support of other LGBT writers, and there wasn't very much there,
really. It was a bit of a shock really.
There were small groups running here and there. There was something in Brighton, there was something in London that kind of stopped and started.
Because you just didn't know each other? Because creativity seems to go hand in glove with LGBTQ, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think there's loads of writers out there, and I think I've proved that since I've actually started the website and started the network. And I just wanted to do something about that. And basically, I got together a website. I started to, in Bristol, an LGBT writers group on Meetup. And within like 2 or 3 weeks of putting that up onto Meetup, you know, we're at over 50 members and we're meeting, you know.
Already? Wow.
Already.
So what's been your favourite part of this process? Have you developed your novel in any way because of this group? Or like, how do you feel like it shaped you as a writer?
I think one of the key things is that you're partly looking for support, okay? So there's a kind of sense of you're in the right tribe, you're kind of like, you're all aiming the same direction. But then there's the other bit, and that's about kind of writing skills and actually kind of the diversity of writing that's out there and sharing your writing with people you trust. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the first things, because it's the first step to what we call actually putting it out there, okay? So there's kind of writing in your notebook, and then there's kind of sharing in a group that you trust. And then quite often there's expertise within that group who can help you kind of get that work out there. And there's lots of ways that writing goes out there. People will blog or even tweeting.
Even tweeting.
Well, people tweet stories. In fact, a stream of tweets is a story building anyway. So it's about kind of recognizing that and working with it. So
Like a beautiful process to have that support with you.
Is it a nationwide thing, or did it grow in Bristol first and then move out?
Well, I live around here, so I've started the kind of monthly group that meets in Bristol, but I've also kind of got I'm kind of spreading UK wide to get a network together, and that's a campaign I'm doing quite separately, so that in the internet world, to kind of have that network. But on the back of that, we're also running some retreats. Okay, at the moment they're 1-day retreats in Bristol in October, Manchester November, and I'm just about to kind of go down and sort out a retreat location in London. So it's about trying to kind of bring the people together in a wider sense. And of course, by bringing people together, you're also going to attract the attention of agents and publishers who'll be looking around for good LGBT writing.
So walk me kind of through what you do at a meeting, as in like how, so someone knows what they're like, what to expect when they like kind of join.
Okay, so usually each of the meetings that we have is kind of themed differently. So the very first meeting we had was just around coming and talking about your writing journey. Okay, so it's a kind of like sharing kind of thing. But then by the next meeting, we're doing some writing practice as part of it and sharing that with each other. And then the next meeting, which is in early October in Old Market to the Moon, we are having a discussion about how you can self-publish or independently publish your writing, even very short stories or poems, how to put that out there for the reader, because it's an artistic project and it's about putting it out there.
It sounds amazing. I've never heard of something like this, and it's so important, especially integral, because I'm an artist, but even just anything you need, like to have that support, it's so important for people, don't you think, Steffi?
I do. Now, when you are meeting, there must be different categories, because everyone's writing differently, obviously. So there'd be the fiction, the fantasy, the factual, the documentary style. But that's all about books. What about people who just want to write stuff in, say, a magazine every month? And because that's going to be a different style, isn't it? Do you cover all those different styles?
I think we do, and the way to do it really is that everybody's got something to learn from everybody else. So, for example, we've even had gamers coming to our writers' groups who are interested in developing the storyline of the LGBT games they're developing. Now, once you start talking about something like how is a story structured, that can work across pretty much everything from a play to a TV script.
That's so cool. Gaming. That's so cool. Because you wouldn't even think gamers could come in, but that's excellent. Yeah.
No, that is odd, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I was a bit like, oh, okay, I saw that. But no.
I think, Terry, you were mentioning about the orchestration that Classic FM of it moving from gaming.
Oh, yes.
The orchestration.
Yeah, well, the amount of work that goes into games. The Classic FM radio station has launched a programme which plays music from the games, because it's beautifully orchestrated, like a film score.
So they're obviously a big part. Did that surprise you?
It did a little. I mean, I've seen it starting to happen, but when I ran the first LGBT one, I was absolutely blown away by the diversity and range of people that were there and the kind of work they were doing. There was somebody who was publishing poetry in Esperanto. In France. And it's kind of like, okay, we need you to come back next month and actually tell us in more detail about your story. And so these kind of meetups, you know, they're a couple of hours, but there's something quite different when you're bringing people together with a shared interest and they're really kind of going for it. And there is the LGBT aspect of it, and that is quite different. And that allows you to feel much more relaxed and comfortable about the storylines you're kind of playing around with. Mm. And you can also talk openly about your fears around discrimination with the publishing industry or anything like that. Which is a real thing.
Where do you kind of see it going? So I know you've got these retreat things, but like, where is your vision for it? So like, say in like 5 years' time, like, where do you want it to be?
For me, the campaign vision is that I want a strong LGBT network of writers in the UK who are recognised and have a strong voice. And I think that happens in other aspects of LGBT life. And there's absolutely no reason why it can't happen with the many thousands of people in the UK who are writing.
What about people who might be listening to this and think, I've never written anything, but I would really like to. So what if somebody's in that position? They know nothing about writing, but have a passion that they have this idea about a book and they would like to put it on paper. Can you help that person start off?
I think so. We're not a start writing course, I'll be honest about that. But I kept notebooks for 14 years before I then started to think about writing it as a story.
Did you?
Yeah.
14 years?
Or longer even. Yeah. I still have them all.
What kind of is your style, though? What would you talk about in your what did you write down so people know kind of where you came from kind of thing?
You mean in my
notebooks? Yeah, in your notebooks.
It would be something like I'd be on holiday and there'd be some facts in there, the usual things that you're doing on holiday. And then there would be like a little few sentences where I've drifted off into what you might think as fantasy or an imagined scene. Mm. That would be...
Oh, and you'd write it down and then obviously that would be an idea to put into the book. How difficult is that to actually... Because a lot of authors must do that. Because some of the books you read are quite complex. You think, wow, there must be a history behind that. Like Tolkien wrote a complete history behind Middle-earth. Do you have to do that in depth? So it's not just a matter of sitting at a desk and thinking, right, I'm going to write a book and get it down. There's a lot of work. In your case, 14 years of...
I think you can only write one word at a time.
Yes, very true.
And some days, and quite often on some days, I will just write 10 minutes. And I'm happy that if I've just written one line, that's... some more writing that's been done.
Yeah,
it's not to put oneself under pressure. One can have this dream or image of this great piece of work further down the line, but I think there's a lot that goes on in between there. And there's not just the end product, though we all want that, but there's actually the feeling that you get from actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that in itself,
the gratification
that has value.
So how do people find out about your one day retreats and about your website? What is it, basically?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's outonthepage.co.uk.
Okay.
And pretty much you can go in, you can put those words into Twitter or Facebook or the web, mm-hmm. and you'll find your way to the range of things that we do. Whoever you are and whatever kind of writing, we have people come to the first group who had never written a word. They wanted to sit there and hear what was going on. They are welcome.
Right.
Because who knows, they might go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter where you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Paul, for spending time with us. That was really, really interesting. And what's the name of your book?
Little Deaths and Resurrections.
Okay. So that could be on somebody's Christmas list somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Go by Grimes featuring Blood Diamonds.
Deffy, that was a good choice. I enjoyed it.
That was a nice choice.
That was
very
clubby.
That was Andrew who chose that one.
Oh, was it? Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to credit you with... especially last week, I'm not going to credit you with much. But
no, exactly.
Well, I've heard of Grimes. They're quite
good.
Big band, aren't they? Or artist, yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's last Thursday of the month,
yes.
And before we slide straight into October, which is quite a scary thought.
Yeah.
Gosh, yes.
We get another slice of Terry.
Yes.
And I like that.
You're too kind.
Terry, we're going to be talking about all things trans.
It's trans issues.
And yesterday, Girl Guides were in the news. So tell us more.
They were on the BBC. Well, they've expelled two volunteers, one of whom has 15 years' experience. But because these volunteers were, I think it's fair to say they're pretty anti-transgender, and they actually said that girls have a right to female-only spaces. And this is at odds with the Girl Guide's stated policy of including trans girls, you know, young people that are transitioning from male to female. Mm. Now, the chief executive, Amanda Medler, and Ruth Marvel, who's also the acting chief executive, they're co-chiefs of the Girl Guides, which is an organisation with 500,000 girls.
Wow.
And young women are members of the Girl Guides across the United Kingdom. They said, in the last few days, you may have seen that Girl Guiding's equality and diversity policy has been criticised in the media, with accusations that our inclusion of trans members put girls at risk. But they said, categorically, it does not. But Helen Watts, who is one of the two people that were expelled, says girls have a right to female-only spaces, particularly when guides and leaders share lavatories, showers and sleeping accommodation in camps.
No, she was on Radio 4 as well. And Victoria Derbyshire's show was covering this this morning. And she would not go on the show. So she had a spokesperson, which was it was not a good listen.
Right.
Not a good listen at all. And she kept saying that the trans girls were male, and it didn't matter what was being said.
It's this idea that trans girls are going to be sexual predators. This is what Susie Green from Mermaids, which is a group which supports trans children, said. She said, what they're saying is that trans girls not only are not real girls, is that they are predators. They are rapists.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Sorry, this is a bit where I chime in.
please do.
There's many more things I could say about this, but because we're on air, I won't. But it's completely ridiculous idea. Like, how many attacks has there ever been in toilets from trans women?
None.
Exactly.
Reported in the world, not just this country.
This is the thing. I find it kind of insane that they have this idea that this could happen when it's never happened. Like, what are they basing this on? Nothing. So I just think it's completely stupid. And it's just one of those things that people who are allowed the platform use it poorly. Like, there's
What they're missing here is the fact they're not looking at what gender dysphoria is and why these children identify as either male or female, which is different to what their birth sex was.
Yeah.
It's because their brain is wired in a feminine or male way that differs with their birth body. And they just didn't get this. This woman kept saying, It's male. Now, let me say, one of the young girls who have been followed by the Victoria Derbyshire show over the last 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
They interviewed the mother and the young girl. Now, the mother went to the guides, and most of the school parents and kids know anyway about her little girl. And she wanted to make sure that when she went off to camp and all that, that she had a safe space to go that was separated from the rest, because she was embarrassed. So what trouble would there be?
Yeah.
You know, obviously embarrassment from this poor little girl because she's got the wrong body. And I know that so well from growing up and knowing at four. I mean, to call a child a predator, and anything can happen in a tent when you're talking of a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
You know, what is in the mind?
See, this is the thing. I don't truly believe anyone that has these opinions actually tries to understand, because if they did try to understand and they actually talked to this young girl, they'd actually understand from this perspective. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but to come out with all this rubbish and saying that they're predators and dangerous, it's just not what the child's like, or any child is like. And they're going through enough things to then put this extra thing on top of them. I think all they need is support, and they just don't deserve to be these leaders, I don't think.
Should we widen and open the debate a little bit, because there's also been a court case going on this week which has involved Linda Bellos. Now, you may not be aware of her. She's a black lesbian feminist. She came to Bristol in 2005, I think, as part of Queer Awareness Week. I remember she was speaking at the council house alongside Peter Tatchell and various other people. But she was leader of Lambeth Council in the 1980s and was slated by the Sun for being a loony leftist and all. So she's done a great deal for lesbian and gay rights, but she very much is part of that sort of Marxist feminist analysis, which is very dismissive of trans people. And she's being prosecuted, a private prosecution by a trans activist, because she said at a forum that was streamed live online that she wanted to attack or thump trans women. So, you know, it's kind of a very meaty subject. There was a big demonstration in support of her by radical feminist groups in London, and she's appeared alongside the woman who streamed the event on the internet. It's a very interesting question, and there's this split in the LGBT movement. Do you think that it's going to tear the movement apart? The fact that there are some radical feminists that are very anti-trans. Do we think?
Well, I suppose that there was another point that you make that we were chatting about in the green room earlier about the split in the LGBTQ community over the trans issue. And it was mentioned that gay guys don't seem to have any prejudices, to the most part.
Well, that's one of the questions.
The ones that are most vocal seem to be from the lesbian community, within the community. I'm not talking about people from outside of the community.
Right, yeah.
So just as there, because you've had prejudice, Laura, from within the community for being a person of colour and cutie pot.
Yeah.
And it's the same for trans. It's like these two groups are taking a hit from within a community that you would think would be holding together because we're already fighting.
I think the thing is, like I said on the show last year, when you have a very oppressed group, they look to oppress other people. And trans people and black people are the people that you can oppress, because a lot of the cis males and females, because they feel so, I don't know, you look down instead of looking up. So you don't fight the oppressor, you fight the already oppressed. So to make them feel better, or to make them feel like they're less of a minority group, a lot of people condemn and make fights and do these things to people of a more minority than them, because it's easy for them.
Yeah.
Like it's easy pickings. And I think that's one of the reasons why
there's a lot of analogies there, isn't there? Because a bully who's been bullied might go on to bully.
It's true. Like a lot of bullies have been bullied either by parents or children, and it's one of those things where I'm just so tired of it now, because we are a community. We should stick together. There's literally no reason for anyone to oppress anyone, because we're all oppressed. So it's one of those things of unlearning the things that your oppressor has taught you. And I think it won't break the movement apart, because there's such strong people for trans rights. And like, it's just not coercing, but it's in bringing people around to idea. Like, a lot of people were against black people and against black rights, and look at people now, they're becoming more and more rounded. So I definitely believe trans people have a journey to go on. But we're definitely, I don't think it's going to tear. What do you think, Terry? I don't know.
No, I tend to think you're right. And I think that it's a relatively small number of people that are involved in the very vocal anti-trans movement. I mean, I accept the fact that there are some women that you know, have concerns about the Gender Recognition Act, but have expressed themselves in a much more moderate way. But there is this element which is very, very vocal, very, very extreme, saying that all men are, for starters, that all men are rapists, but and also that trans women are males who want to rape women, which, as Steffi said, there is actually no documented case of a trans woman entering a woman's restroom and raping a cisgendered woman.
And that's a fact, because I was speaking to Avon in Somerset Police, LGBT Q section, when they were doing their podcast for the show, and they're linked to the European police LGBTQ groups, And then linked to the worldwide organisations of LGBTQ police officers around the planet. And there is no record of any trans woman in a toilet sexually harassing or being inappropriate even.
They need to base their things on facts, and that's simply what they can't do, because the fact is there's nothing to back their story up. So they're just throwing out all this thing, hoping it will stick against the wall, and it doesn't.
Fake news.
Fake news, it actually is.
A lot of it around.
One thing I'd like to come back to, if I've got time, I know we're running a little bit short, is one thing that Steffi said, is that although obviously there's lots of gay men who do have prejudices against trans people, there doesn't seem to be any organised group of homosexual or bisexual men who are threatening violence against trans men. It does seem to be very much sort of the separatist lesbian movement that came around in the 70s. And, you know, and we, in a way, we've had a kind of rehearsal of this before, because in the 70s, there was what was called the lesbian sex wars, which sounds like a sci-fi film, doesn't it? But in actual fact, was a very, very heated discussion within the lesbian community about the role of butch femme relationships, about sadomasochism and leather and all, you know, the sort of fetish scene, and actually got really nasty. It actually culminated in the firebombing of a lesbian S&M night in London on one occasion, I think about 1988. Right. So in a way, we've had this before, these sorts of discussions, and I think eventually things will even out. So
can I just say one last note?
Of course.
Just to remind everyone, Pride and the protest against against straight people and the system and the civil rights, that was started by a trans woman, so Marsha P. Johnson. So to say that trans women have no place, they started it. They started the protest. They started the movement. So we need to respect them. And yeah, this movement was started with them, for them, with us. So yeah.
Well, trans person of colour.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. Yes, Marsha P. Johnson.
Sorry, I had to add that in.
the late great, and her legacy should be definitely remembered.
Absolutely.
And I think it's interesting. I don't know if you saw the BBC actually in their archives found an interview from 1972, a panel discussion on a sort of community access programme that they used to have on BBC Two late at night. From a group, and it was old language, so it's called the Trans Sex Liberation Group. Did you see that on Facebook?
No,
that was shared on Facebook. We'll have to put it up on our wall at some point, because it was really, really very interesting that there was a group of trans women. It was all trans women. I mean, you know, there was less visibility for trans men, perhaps, in the 1970s, and they were discussing their experiences. So right from the very start of the LGBT movement, there was a very strong trans presence organised, and so on and so forth. So
on to the next.
We just got a little bit of time to talk about gender identity and statistics. The National Office of Statistics has said that with today's society, the traditional view of gender as a binary classification, male or female, is changing. And they're actually holding a consultation, which is ongoing, about what to include in the 2021 census, which some people say will be the last census because it's all going electronic now. We're all under surveillance, aren't we, on the internet? So they're holding a consultation with all interested groups about how to ask the question of gender identity in the census, which will be coming in 3 years' time. Any change, they say, might need to go through a new Act of Parliament, an amendment to the Census Act of 1920, to enable a question on gender identity to be made. As was the case with religion in 2001. So
there's quite a few countries now who've already got a third option on passports.
Including countries you might not think of as well, including sort of developing countries.
Yeah. Isn't it the Netherlands, or who was the recent one? I can't remember, but there's a lot more coming into... I think Germany are thinking about it as well.
I understand.
Germany is one of the one of the biggest countries. Also, there's a state, I think it's one of the New England states, who have decided to have not declaring gender on the birth certificate.
Yeah, a neutral option.
Yeah.
Which is going to be...
We're getting there, sort of.
Yeah, we're just going to... affect a lot of people because there are a lot of people that are non-binary. I mean, we talked a great deal about trans women and trans men today, but of course there's a lot of people that are post-binary as well.
And of course you're talking about trans men. They've actually made it into gay men's books.
That's another interesting thing is I think that the gay male press has been particularly sort of supportive of trans men, that they've actually popped them on the front of magazines as pinups and things like that. Although Diva magazine, the biggest selling lesbian magazine, has actually come out and said no, that the lesbian rights and trans rights are one and the same, as you were saying, Lara. And that's the biggest lesbian selling magazine in the world.
And it's also becoming mainstream anyway, trans in magazines like Vogue and
It's definitely a movement.
Right, I'm afraid we have to round it up again. I'm not going quick. 1 hour. That's it for this week. Big thank you to our supporting nine stations, especially our lovely home where we produce and make our shows, BCFM.
Yes. If you want to get involved, find out more from us, or just grab the podcast, head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt for all the info you need.
Next week, we revisit mental health. Take care this week. Bye.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.